Can be sure of that. If we have the Lord, you'll know, because the Lord makes himself obvious to you. And some people indicate that they're a Christian, where in actual fact, not for me to judge them, but they're just churchgoers. Keep the pews warm. They don't actually know Jesus yet, I always say, yet. Because God died for us all, and it's like apples that grow on a tree. They're not all ripe at the same time. You can go around an apple tree and that one's a nice apple. This one's a nice. Oh, that's a bit small, that one. But it's still an apple. And later on, it'll become to full time. Let's sing 145. Jesus is the way to salvation. There's number 145.
Jesus is the way to salvation, the way, the truth, and the life. I'll praise his name, for he guides my way in spirit and truth.
had that experience where the Lord's calling you and suddenly you realize it. You may have heard about Jesus, come to church, done all those things, but the day comes when he's calling you and you know it. There's nothing better than that, knowing that he loves you. We'll try for some testimonies after a song or two here. So if you've got a testimony, I'll get Howard to bring around the microphone to you and you can share it. 333, I heard an old, old story.
I heard an old.
So many of these choruses and hymns have got the absolute truth in them. And you know, if you can associate it with the words and see what you're singing, you feel the Spirit come and just rejuvenate inside you. Do we have any testimonies here that anyone would like to share? Howard's really keen to bring the microphone to you. None? Oh, you have one. Yes. I'll bring the microphone and you can hate the people to miss out on this, Shirley.
Moved to Kaukopa Kopa to retire, and things did not go right. A lot of things happened in our life, and we had to surrender to the will of God and leave our house behind. And before that, when our house was on the market, I came across this passage from Isaiah 42, verse 16, and this is what I put on my fridge. But what I want to tell you is that I looked at that every day, and then when our house sold, we had 3.5 weeks to vacate where we lived, and we did not know where we were going, whether we were going north, south, east or west. But what I want to tell you is, I'll read the verse and then I'll tell you where we are now. I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. Along unfamiliar paths I will guide them. I will turn the darkness into light before them and make the rough places smooth. These are the things I will do. I will not forsake them. And believe you me, this is so true. When we came down to, we ended up in Gisborne because our son was here. We came, this is where we came, and we rented for a couple of months. And within just a few weeks, we had 1 hour to make up our mind as to where we were going to live, because someone saw us and said, look, there's a house here. Is this for you? We could not have planned this. We live in paradise. And I tell you something, we've never been so happy. God has blessed us, and I'm excited to see what he's going to do through us in our lives for the rest of the time we've got him on this earth. I just bless him and thank him and praise him. He is so real. This verse has come alive. It's so true.
That's very good, Shirley. That's the truth. I know it's the truth because I get a witness about it. And the thing is that if you're a son and daughter of God, that he already knew what you needed. He wasn't guessing. He knew exactly where he's going to move your feet. And he's given you the understanding and the blessing to believe that you're never alone. He is working in and through and for you all the time because he loves you. That's very good testimony, my sister. We'll get to our brother another time. Brother Ross, your husband. Do we have any others? Are we allowed 2 or 3? Okay. I don't know where everybody is at the moment. Where the crowds are getting thinner. However, let us sing another one here. Number 346, and it's just what our sister was talking about, and it's God Will Make a Way. Shall we stand as we sing that?
God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my God. Go through his mind. With love and strength for each new day, he will make a way. God will make a way.
And if we have the experience of that and believe that God will make a way for you, all of you, and those listening, God will make a way. Just look to Him. It may not feel like His way, and you don't understand maybe, but God will make a way and never leave you alone. Let's sing one more, 126. Whatever I got down there. So, bit hurried, this one, because I haven't prepared for it. 126 is, I'm going to live the way He wants me to live.
I'm going to live the way.
Doesn't just want us to love Him. He wants us to love our brethren, our brothers and sisters, no matter what. And we just want to be where He wants us to be. He gives us a voice to sing and to tell others. All we've got to do is just that. You may be seated. Thank you, Brother Howard.
Try that. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word, and say, Hear the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah that enter in at these gates to worship the Lord." I'd also like to turn to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 12. "Therefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood," that's us, you know, "suffered without the gate," that's outside Jerusalem. "Let us go forth therefore unto Him without the camp, bearing His reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." May God bless His word. Shall we just pray? Lord Jesus, once again we come to Thee. We pray, Lord, that You'll quicken Your word to us. It's such a precious word. It's a live, living word. Pray that You'll bless each one here, Lord. Just for a few moments before we come around Your table, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like you to be a partaker of this word today, so that makes it more live. And I've just entitled this "A House of Worship." This is not a brick building. This is not a storeroom. This is not an assembly hall. This is a house of worship. And it's so easy to forget why we come to the house of God. Some people come, believe it or not, to be entertained. Some come to enjoy singing and some will come to meet people, and that's all good. There's nothing wrong with that. But sometimes we come out of duty but misunderstand why we come. And throughout this land we see houses of worship, but regrettably they're anything but houses of worship. And I don't want to sound critical because I don't go there, but you hear the reports coming in all the time that people wonder where they're at. What are we here for? What are we doing here? We've come to this church and everyone's here, but what are we here for? What are you here for today? However, it is really good to ask ourselves the question, what have our services become over the years? Brother and sister, we just need to be in the Spirit of God. We need to be anointed people. An anointed people. The anointing is the Holy Spirit on the people. And it's so much, 1,000 times better than not being anointed. So I pray that the Lord will help us all to come to this. It's really good to challenge ourselves on these things. And we say, oh, that church and this church. Don't worry about this church and that church. Let's worry about ourselves. These things, it is so easy to lose our vision. To lose our vision of Jesus. Of why we've come together. Some will say we come to hear the word of God. And that's exactly true. We come to hear his word. But hearing the word should be produced true Holy Ghost worship. Who believes that? Should produce a worship unto our Lord and Saviour. And there's a quote here from Questions and Answers which says, if you want scripture, the people are supposed to come to the house of God for one purpose. That is to worship, to sing songs, and to worship God. And that's the way God expects it. He doesn't expect us to come into the house of God to talk about one another or to talk about what we got to do through the week. He expects us to come to worship him. It's a house of worship. Now, let me say this. I've been to some churches, and I've been really taken back, really shocked, because before the service even starts, it's just like a flea market. There's just such a rumble of noise, and people talking and speaking out loud. We come here to worship God. We should come in a reverent manner to come before the Lord. I really believe that. And everything should be done decently in order. Said Paul in the Bible, everything's supposed to be right. They go to church because they know it's a decent thing to do. And that's all you go to church for? You're just a hypocrite. That's all. You don't go to church for thinking it's a decent thing to do. You go to church to worship God. You go to meet God and thank him and to praise him and to worship him. A house of worship. Now, that's what we need. Who believes we need a house of worship? But you know, brothers and sisters, you've got to partake of it. You've got to actually enter into it. Traveling to many churches worldwide, I see a real lacking. I really do. Not in every church, but in a lot, that there's a real lacking of real worship and praise to God from the people. You know, brother and sister, you want to be blessed, you start praising God. Just telling him what he's done for you. The church building doesn't worship God. You do. Sometimes I think us end time message believers, we've slipped from worship. I know we have, because I know what we used to be and now I know what it is now. We've slipped from worship. And what is praise and worship? It's to bless, it's to glorify, magnify, and to thank him for himself and to confess him, what he's done for us, to praise God. This is to you personally. Express your love to him. It's not what you do, it's what I do, what I have to do. I need to thank him for everything he does for me. Thanking you, Lord, for saving my soul. When we praise, our inward attitude becomes an outward expression. You praise the Lord because it's in here. Not because, oh, I've got to say amen. I have to say praise the Lord. That's not it. It's got to come from your heart. Lord, I love you. Who loves him?
Amen.
That's right. That's the way to say it. It's got a different ring to it. Not just saying amen. Hallelujah. It's got to come from the heart. It's got life in it. So we see it's not just in the singing, choruses and hymns, and that's okay. That can certainly be a part of our worship, but I'm referring to praise from the heart. Lord wants to hear us from our hearts, through our mouths to God, worshipping by how we live during the week. That's another way of worshipping God, how we live during the week. Not just, you know, some people act like a saint on Sunday, and during the week they act like the devil. That's absolutely true, I know. It's not, God's not impressed. He wants us to be genuine 24/7. Through the mouth to God, worshipping. And how we dress is another one. Sister telling me a while ago, they're going to church. People come up there, men with a pair of shorts on, sandals. Hey, you wouldn't do that to the Queen. Why should we do it to the King of Kings? These things are really slipping and showing us an attitude problem. Brother and sister, we need to worship God. You know, the high priest in the Old Testament had to dress in a specific way. Absolutely, God laid it down. They had to have so many buttons and all that stuff. I haven't looked it up or anything, but there's a lot of requirements. Now, you can dress right too and still not be right in your heart as well. But I think it's a reflection. Who believes this? You do, don't you, Sister Mill? I can tell you do. You know, my father said, whenever you preach, he said, Howard, make sure you wear a tie. Now, that's that's ridiculous. I've never said that to anyone else, but that's what he told me. And he's preached many churches around the world multiple times. It's respect to the house of God. We don't just come in as we're going to the beach. We come in because we love the Lord and we dress appropriately for the King of Kings. So those are other ways we can worship. And how we speak to others is another thing. We can speak nicely on Sunday, but how do we speak to people at work? Or wherever we go, what's our attitude towards them? Do we love them? Do we respect them? All these things reflect our worship to God. Our purpose here on earth, what we've been placed on earth for, is it to be born, to grow up, to raise a family, enjoy life and then die? That's not what God got you here for. Those things may be a part of living. But our main purpose here is to worship and praise the Lord.
Amen.
Let's say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Now we might as well get started because that's what he wants you to do. What a terrible thing if God has to raise the stones up to start worshipping him. That's what he said. If you don't, these people stop praising God, the stones will raise up and worship him. So may God help us all. Psalm 107 verse 8 says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness." Has he been good to you?
Yes.
He's been good to me. Our sister just testified how he's watched over them and opened the way for them and done miraculous things and getting them a home and all. You know what, brother and sister? We should thank him. God loves to be thanked. You like to be thanked, we should thank him. And when we worship him, we're thanking him for our saving of our souls and for the healing of our bodies and for whatever need we have, we thank him daily. Praise the Lord. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. I don't think I read that whole verse. Oh, that men should praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he has satisfied the longing soul and filled the hungry soul with goodness. And brothers and sisters, that's what we should be doing. What did the Lord Jesus say to us in John 4:23? The hour cometh. He's talking something future, and now is something's present. When the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him this afternoon. Who believes that? God is looking down for real worshippers here. Who wants to worship him? Give him glory. Praise him. Amen. In Psalm 29 verse 2, give unto the Lord the glory that's due unto his name. Let me say this, brothers and sisters. You know what I believe is actually overdue in this day? The glory that's due unto his name, to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Who should praise the Lord, I say? I've said this around the world. Got a whole lot of young people there. They say, oh, well, that's for the adults. No, it's not. Psalm 150 verse 6 says, let everything that have breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. If you are breathing this afternoon, your next breath could be used to say, thank you, Lord. Amen. Let's use it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Do you believe that, Brother Peter? Amen. I do too. So if you love somebody naturally, you're always talking about them. That's a fact of life. So how do we praise and worship God? Some people are afraid to praise the Lord. The Bible tells us it's a sacrifice. You know, a sacrifice is something that's hard to do. That's what people say, I can't praise the Lord. I can't shout and raise my arms or whatever. Whatever you feel you should be doing. It says there in Hebrews 13:15, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Not just Sunday morning when the song leader says, everyone raise your hands and praise the Lord. You should say, I love you, Lord, anyway, whether he says it or not. Do you believe this?
Amen.
Amen. I do too. That is the fruit of our heart. Lips. Voice coming through your lips. Giving thanks to his name. God gave you a tongue not to gossip with. He gave you a tongue to worship him and to praise his name. I think it's just so wonderful. God is not hiding anything here. It will cost the flesh to start. And God will send the spirit of praise like a garment. I don't know about you, brothers and sisters, but I've had the Holy Ghost come on me. I remember one time in Adelaide at a youth camp we had out in the country. And that spirit of praise came on us, came rolling over like waves. It's really hard to explain. You've got to be there. But the entire congregation was caught up in worship, entirely caught up in worship. I blew it. I really just couldn't stop shouting. I just about lost my voice. I was meant to be preaching. But I was so overcome with the joy and the love of the presence of the Lord. That is the garment of praise. God gives you that. You can't do it without his help. You need the Spirit of God to cause you to worship him and to praise him. The sacrifice of praise continually. So I just thank God for that. So God sent the Spirit of praise like a garment. People say, I'm too down to praise the Lord. Or make a sacrifice. The Lord made a sacrifice. He went to Calvary for you. Do you realize the Lord Jesus was worn out, tired? No strength. He'd lost so much blood. He was walking with the cross to Calvary for you. And we find we can't even say, oh, I'm too tired to go to church. Listen, brother and sister, we need a real wake-up call. One day you'll be very, very thankful that you do have an opportunity to go to fellowship. In Isaiah 61 verse 3, it says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. He's going to swap with you. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Hallelujah. Well, some people say to me, oh, Brother Howard, I praise the Lord in my heart. Wonderful. But if it's truly in your heart, it'll come out of your mouth. From out of the heart, abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. That's where it's going to come. That is why the Lord said in our reading, all that have breath, worship. Now, worship is twofold. It's both an attitude and an act, and expressed by an act. The Lord expressed his love to us by doing something. You know how you know the Lord loved you? Who knows how he loved you? How do you know that he loves you? He died for you. He wasn't playing around. He loved you so much that he laid down his life for you, that you may live. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is evidence of his love for you. So this is an attitude and an act. If you have a right attitude and love towards the Lord, it'll act out of you. You won't just sit there like a mute or a stone. Like Jesus said, these stones will shout if they don't shout. So, brother and sister, we need to have an attitude and an act. The Lord expressed his love by doing something. So where does the action of praise unto God come from? Let's read Hebrews 13:15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto his name. In Psalm 109:30, we read, I will greatly praise the Lord with my mouth. This is the word of the Lord. This is not Howard Searle's doctrine. This is what the Bible says all the time, with your mouth, with your lips. We're not doing it. Who loves the Lord?
Amen.
The Lord wants to hear you say that. He gets thrilled when you say that. I will greatly praise the Lord with my mouth. Yea, I will praise him among the multitude. That's in church too. Some people say, oh, I praise the Lord when I'm in my prayer time. Well, that's good. You should too. But he wants us to praise the Lord here as well.
Amen.
Who believes that with all your heart? Amen. Luke 19:37. Let's turn to that. And when he has come nigh, that's near, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. You know, it's just so wonderful. With a loud voice, I can hardly wait to us get back to real worship and real praise, to give him thanks for what he's done for us. The Lord is very accustomed to loud voice of worship. The world shout aloud. Just go down to the All Blacks sometime. They'll shout. They'll scream. They'll jump. They'll paint their faces. Do all sorts of things. But it's not glorifying to God. Brother and sister, if we really love the Lord, we won't be afraid to open our mouth and praise him. I remember seeing, one time I went into a petrol station, was waiting for the lady or whoever to serve me, and they had a big screen up on the wall. It really amazed me. I would say there's probably 30,000 people there, and it was a rock concert. And they had these guys playing their guitars real loud as normal. And I was walking out across the platform, not over the people, as it were. And the entire audience, there wasn't one person who was going like that. The entire audience, Brother Ross, were praising God. It's just an emotion. You talk about unity. The whole thing was like a Mexican wave. They just all moved together. It just went like that. They were praising this God of music, or whatever horrible music was, actually. But they were absolutely a part of it. They were a part of what they believed in. You go to church, it's like going into a morgue. People sit there like, you know, you don't even know they're alive. Not much difference between being in the box and being in the congregation. Brothers and sisters, we should worship the Lord with all our hearts and with all our souls in unison, praising Him, glorifying Him. Absolutely. I love this quotation here. After a while, he heard a noise coming around the corner. It's strange, wherever Jesus is at, there's always a lot of noise. You know, there's noise. Noise is a sign of life, see. Remember the high priest, when he dressed and went into the holiest of holies, on the end of his garments, he had a pomegranate and a bell. And that noise in the holiest of holies was the only way the waiters knew that he was alive or not. It made a noise. And when there ain't no noise, he might be dead. I think that's what a lot of matter with our churches today. There's not enough noise about it. Not enough enthusiasm. Not enough something. And so when Jesus is, where Jesus is, there's always noise. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You love Him? Let's give Him thanks. A lot of noise. We cannot remain quiet. In the presence of the Lord, this noise is not just any kind of noise. It's not just noise. No, it's a true worship from the heart unto the Lord. What have we been instructed to do when we come to church? Come in, sit down and keep quiet. Is that what we're instructed to do? Not according to the word of God. Let's turn to Psalm 100, verse 1. It says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. That's why we have a song service, to worship God. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Into His courts with praise. That's it. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Is that the word of God or not? Is that what God expects of us? Yes. Challenge yourself. Do you come to hear Brother Lee sing? No, probably not a good thing. You don't come to hear me sing either, that's for sure. But brother and sister, when we come to hear, we should have a song in our heart.
Amen.
I remember Smith Wigglesworth, a man who's mightily used to God, mightily used to God. Great miracles and signs and raising the dead. Truly a servant of Christ. They came into a meeting one day and he walked onto the stage with thousands of people there. And he said, who came into this auditorium, into this church praising the Lord? No one said anything. He said, raise your hand if you did. No one raised their hand. He said, all right, this is how he was. Get up, the lot of you, get out of here. That's what he said. This is how he was. No one argued with him because God was with him. He said, I want you to come back into this place raising your hands and praising God. Because the Bible says, we just read it, come into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. And all the people went out and eventually they turned around. They all came back and coming through the door praising the Lord. Hallelujah. You know what? The glory of God filled that building. There was such power because we're doing what God said to do. It's a good thing to be challenged about. Praise the Lord. So what does praise do? Brings down the presence of God every time. Praise from the heart will fill the place with the presence of God. You won't have to worry about things being healed and people being saved. It will happen. Praise strengthens your faith when you praise the Lord. It actually is the voice of faith praises. It brings deliverance. It's your confession of faith when you praise the Lord. It's the language of heaven. We might as well become accustomed to it. I believe praise sets the stage for God to move. Do you believe that? Brothers and sisters, you know what we're going to have to do? We're going to have to do it regardless of what others do. We're just going to have to do it because God said to. We do what he says, he'll bless it. I challenge you to believe that. Praise also brings joy, which is your strength. Neither be sorry, it says in Nehemiah 8:10. The joy of the Lord is your strength. What is your strength? The joy of the Lord is your strength. If you want strength, get the joy of the Lord on you. How do you get the joy of the Lord? Start worshipping and praising him. We're being duped out of a blessing by the enemy. Praise can unlock the power of God in your life. Remember Joshua around the walls of Jericho. When they went to battle, they didn't take their spears and arrows. No, they shouted in praise and the walls came down. You're trying to overcome something in your life, get a victory. Have you been praising the Lord? Have you been worshipping him, especially in your own closet and giving him thanks? Start worshipping the Lord and see what God will do. Hallelujah. If we can praise the Lord, many walls in your life will come down. We have much to praise and worship the Lord about. Who believes this? I tell you what, brothers and sisters, there's people out there in a short period of time are going to be screaming out for mercy because they don't know the Lord. But you know them this afternoon. We should say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for dying for me. Thank you, Lord, for meeting my every need. Let's always express our love to him. You know what? He wants to hear from you. He wants to hear from you. So when we come to the table, let us praise him. This is in remembrance of him, what we're coming for, to remember what he did for us. So let us remember these things. Shall we just stand and thank the Lord now? Lord Jesus, we come to thee this afternoon. We want to thank you, Lord, for your mighty blessings and your goodness to us in many, many ways. Lord, we're so blessed to have you. I pray, Lord, that the joy of the Lord will be our strength. Lord, that we won't be ashamed to worship you. We won't worry what others think. We'll set an example to give you thanks. Lord, I just pray you'll bless each one here. I pray, Lord, it'll be a real experience for every one of us to learn to thank the Lord and to worship him and to praise you, because this is a house of worship. It's not a social gathering. It's a time to worship God and to praise you. So, Lord, may you just bless each one. We ask this blessing in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All you that mourn in Zion, I have authority to appoint unto you in Zion. wonderful, Lord. We're here to thank Him and to magnify Him and to praise Him, to glorify Him. Let's sing this chorus again as we come to the table, shall we? Put on the garment of praise. Brother Peter, would you like to come and stand with us, please? I want to read from Paul's account here. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. Said, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. So we're actually remembering what he did for us. His body was broken, terribly broken. He did that because he loved you. He wants to see you healed of all sicknesses and all diseases. For I am the Lord that healeth thee, he said. I heal all thy diseases. And this represents our healing. Praise be to God. After the same manner, he also took the cup. When he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you to show the Lord's death till he come. And that's not far away. Hallelujah. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. So it's really important to be reverent. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. So that's important. We've got to judge ourselves. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And that means to pray one for another. So we're just going to have a few moments to search our own hearts. Examine ourselves, not your brother or your sister, but you. Say, Lord, if there's anything I've done that's been offensive to you in any way, knowing or unknowingly, would you please forgive me before we partake? And be reverent about it. The Bible's warned us not to take it without reverence and taking it worthily. So we're just going to have a few moments, and then we'll pray, and then we'll partake. Lord, bless these elements before we partake.
Lord Jesus, we just come before you and are so grateful, Lord, for this communion table that we can remember what you did for us.
Mm.
We're sorry that you did, but glad that
Amen.
You did.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Lord, without it, we would have no hope.
for the people that may be watching us, Lord, on the internet.
Yes, Lord.
That can't actually physically be here. But we remember them as our brothers and our sisters.
Yes, Lord.
They are.
Yes, Lord.
And just pray for them too.
Yes, Lord.
But Lord, we do this for ourselves, each one.
Yes.
And just claim what you did for me.
Yes, Lord.
And the broken bread, Lord, hallelujah, is just remembering of your broken body. And for all our sicknesses and our healings,
Lord,
you made a way.
Hallelujah.
We're so, so glad that
thank
you did.
Thank you, Lord.
And Lord, for the wine, we say thank you, Lord, which yes, represents your life-giving
yes,
blood.
Yes.
And you let it just drain away until you died.
Thank you, Lord.
We are absolutely
thank you,
affected by that, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Grateful.
Hallelujah.
That we know.
Yes, Lord.
We know, Lord, because you make it apparent in our heart.
Yes, Lord.
Anyone that is entering in will know whether they believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
It's a God-given belief. And we are part of it, Lord, and hopefully many more will come. And we just thank you at this time in your precious and holy name. Amen.
So as you partake your portion of the bread, you're saying, Lord, by your stripes on my back, I was healed. Every need you have in your body can be met as you partake. Many people receive the healing during a communion service, partaking of the bread and the wine. So don't forget, this is for your healing as well. May God bless you as you partake. So Brother Lee first. Brother Lee first. And then back that way. Hallelujah, Lord. Wonderful Saviour. Hallelujah. Can we sing a song, All the Blood of Jesus? All the blood of Jesus, precious blood of Jesus, all the blood of Jesus, that washes white as snow. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. My name and I was lost. He died upon the cross. I know it was the blood for me. I know it was the blood. I know. Take your sip of this wine. You're saying, Lord, I know when your blood ran down, it ran for me and paid for every sin of my life from the day I was born till the day you take me home. I know it was the blood. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So wonderful. Thank you. our mighty Saviour. Hallelujah, Jesus. Blessed be your holy name. Blessed be your holy name, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Anyone who's desiring prayer for any matter, just come forward. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Amen. Brother Ross, would you like to commit us to the Lord as we go our way and ask God to bless us, please. Thank you, Lord.
Lord, as we have been in your presence
yes.
this afternoon, yes. surrounded by one thing, Lord, your love was manifest on a cross.
Yes.
It divided eternity.
Hallelujah.
Lord, we want to give you thanks
yes.
this afternoon.
Yes.
For those that are gathered here
yes.
who are only a small representation of the
yes.
people who say, I love you, Lord, for what you have done.
Yes.
We thank you for sending your Son. And Lord, we know that in you we have everything.
Yes.
We've just got to ask.
Amen.
And Lord, how you want us to ask.
Yes.
Just fill each one again with yourself,
yes.
your Holy Spirit that works within us,
yes.
guide and direct us through
yes. things. Yes.
We thank you for the ministry that we've had this morning
yes.
and this afternoon. Yes. Oh Lord, we just take it through the week.
Thank you.
For we know that we are fighting an adversary who
yes.
was not letting up. That
yes.
you have defeated him.
Amen.
The cross.
Hallelujah.
Your blood was spilt on our behalf to render him useless. And Lord, we want to thank you for it. Bless your wonderful and holy name this afternoon.
Yes.
You're under eternal thanks in Jesus' wonderful name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You, Lord, and I lift my voice to you. You.
Rejoice, rejoice, my King, you are my King.
Hallelujah. Oh, brother and sister, he wants to hear us worship him. He wants to hear it in his ear that we love him. Praise be to God. May the Lord be with you all as we go away, and don't forget to pray and worship him, and may he move in our midst in a greater way in the days to come. If you're free on Tuesday night, we'd love to see you at the prayer meeting too. That's where God can move in our midst. Praise God. God bless you all. Thank you, Lord.